Friends, when it comes to choosing a church in the 21st century, modern day Christians have a lot of factors to think through. Factors like this one. What denomination of church would we feel comfortable attending? Do we want to attend a larger church with things that are going to be offered, lots of activities and events and programs, or do we want a smaller church that has more of that family or community feel? Do we want a church that embraces classic worship or cutting-edge contemporary or maybe something in the middle? Does that church have small groups? Does it have effective children's ministries? Does it have a place where my teenagers can go to be encouraged in their walk with Jesus? You know, there's so many things that go into people's choice of a church today. But for some shady people out in the state of Indiana, their choice of church had very little to do with the Bible, but everything to do with the use of marijuana. Family, just last week on July 9th, there was this fake church just outside of Indianapolis. And they were back in the news again after losing their court case. This was a court case where the church argued that smoking marijuana was the church's primary religious sacrament. They insisted that the drug marijuana was part of their holy worship. This particular church is called the First Church of Cannabis. And this is a church that claimed that its members should be protected from prosecution. The case was brought before the court in 2015. The First Church of Cannabis argued this, quote, that cannabis is a healing plant and it is the official sacrament of the First Church of Cannabis. It went on to add these words, members of the church believe cannabis brings us closer to ourselves and to others. It is the fountain of our health, our love, curing us from illness and depression. We embrace it with our whole heart and spirit, individually and as a group. Well, it took 2 years for this court case to work its way through the Indiana legal system, but just last week, the First Church of Cannabis lost their case. They lost in court as the state of Indiana argued, and the judge then agreed that this so-called church was in fact, quote, a political organization rather than a religious one. In other words, friends, this group did not come into existence because they wanted to further God's interests in the world, but rather their own interests in smoking recreational marijuana. Christian friends, as we think about this very interesting court case that just concluded in Indiana, here was a group of religious pretenders trying to use the cover of a local church to protect their marijuana use. But the question I have for us this morning, friends, is what should real believers in the Lord Jesus Christ think about marijuana use? How should real Christians, how should true Christians think about this topic from a Christian worldview, using the Bible as our guide and not just popular secular opinion? Well, family, those are just a few of the questions that I want us to answer today in this message that I've entitled, What Would Jesus Say About Marijuana? Now then, family, for those of you who've been following the news closely, I think many of you will remember that something really monumental happened back in late 2013 when the citizens of the state of Colorado legalized marijuana use across their state for all adults over age 21. Not only for medical use, but also for recreational use. Now, as of today, there are 9 states that allow for some form of recreational use, and upwards of 29 states now have made legal provisions for medical use of marijuana. Now, whether you like it or not, whether this topic makes you uncomfortable or not, marijuana is only growing stronger. It is only growing in its influence across our nation. And what that means, friends, is that Christians like you and I need to know how to think about this issue from a Christian worldview. So, family, with all of that as introduction today, I want us to think together today about five crucial questions. Five crucial questions that every believer ought to ask about marijuana. If you and I did have the opportunity to sit down with the Lord Jesus Christ, if we could really engage with Him in a serious discussion about this topic, well, family, I think these are probably five questions that Jesus would hold out to us and help us to think through this topic from a biblical worldview. So can we do that today? Let's look at five crucial questions that every Christian ought to ask about marijuana. Here's the first one. Number one, is marijuana legal? Number one, is marijuana legal? Now, friends, as we start to think about some of these critical questions that every Christian ought to ask about this topic, let's begin with this one. And it's a good one. Is marijuana legal? In other words, what does our secular government have to say about this topic? Now, friends, over the course of this entire sermon series, you and I, for a number of times, we have opened our Bibles to look at Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. And I'd like to do that again now. Romans chapter 13, would you open your Bible with me? And let's look here at just the first four verses. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. There is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he, that is the government, for he is God's minister to you for good. Christian friends, numerous times in this series, we have learned that government was not man's idea. Human government was God's idea. God established human government for a number of good reasons, and we've talked about them in previous messages. Government exists. It's been given by God to promote justice and equity, to punish evildoers, to protect the innocent, and to try to maintain a healthy society where human beings can live and flourish. As a general rule, we've learned from God's word, God wants us to be law keepers rather than law breakers. Well, does the government say that marijuana is legal today? Well, friends, the answer to that question is yes and no. Yes and no. You see, on the federal level, marijuana is still illegal. On the federal level, marijuana is still illegal to buy, sell, possess, or use. As of this moment, the United States federal government still recognizes that there is a legitimate enough concern, a legitimate enough danger to public safety and public health that the federal government says that marijuana is still classified as an illegal drug. However, as I stated in my introduction this morning, family, over the past 10 years or so, many individual states are now moving to legalize marijuana use. And as I mentioned, you have to be discerning because some states have only legalized it on the medical side, while some other states have made it legal both for medical use as well as recreational use. Now, you and I live here in our Commonwealth. Well, our Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is one of the states that has split the difference, so to speak. Pennsylvania has allowed a limited legal use of marijuana for medical purposes only, but it is not permitted in Pennsylvania for recreational use. So, Christian friends, whether or not marijuana is legal is an important place to start, because the Bible commands all Christians that we are to be law-abiding citizens. We are to be obeying the laws that are put forth by our governments. But of course, family, there's a lot more at stake here, isn't there? There's a lot more at stake here than whether or not marijuana is legal by the government. There are many other things in society today that are very much legal, but are also very much ungodly. So we better ask a couple more questions on this topic. Here's question two. Does marijuana appear in the Bible? Does marijuana appear in the Bible? Christian friends, don't you pride yourself being a person of the Bible? Don't you pride yourself being a person of the book? Well, what does the Bible say about marijuana? Does the word marijuana appear in the Bible at all? Well, family, this is the second time we have to be honest enough to say yes and no. Yes and no. The word marijuana does not appear anywhere in sacred scripture, either in the Old Testament or the New. However, since the marijuana plant is in existence today on this planet, well, it doesn't take a major leap of logic to conclude that if the marijuana plant is here now, it must have been a plant that was a part of God's original creation, as it was described for us back in the book of Genesis. In fact, one of the favorite verses of the marijuana group is this one particular Bible verse that is their go-to passage for the book of, from the book of Genesis. And that verse is in your notes, Genesis 1:29. Would you look at it with me? This is their go-to verse. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food." So right after this verse, the marijuana supporters will say, "See? See? It's right there in the Bible. Not only did God create this plant, it was good as part of His original creation, and it also says that God gave this plant for human beings to use and to consume." Well, that sounds like a really good argument. However, the wise Christian, the discerning Christian reader will say, "But hold on a minute. Scripture doesn't say anything there in that verse about taking a marijuana plant and smoking it for a recreational high. No, the Bible says God gave all of the seed-bearing plants for food." Now, of course, there is this massive market today, as you know, where marijuana is now being added to all kinds of various edibles and foodstuffs and baked goods and brownies. But speaking to that point, family, I really like what Joe Carter wrote in one of his articles for the Gospel Coalition. Joe Carter said this, I gave you this quote in your notes there. He wrote this, "Presumably no one adds marijuana to brownies because it improves the flavor. The reason to add this particular plant to foodstuff is because of its effects on the senses other than taste." I think that's a great insight. Christians, other than this one single verse of Genesis 1:29, which is at best a passing, indirect reference to marijuana, the Bible does not mention marijuana anywhere else in the text of sacred scripture. However, family, that doesn't mean that the Bible can't offer us some really helpful insights on this issue, because even where we cannot find explicit commands from God, the Bible always can give us helpful principles that we can consider and apply to this subject. So let's do that. Let's consider some of the biblical principles that we could bring to bear on this issue. And let's ask now a third critical question, number three. What will marijuana do to a person's body and mind? Number three, what will marijuana do to a person's body and mind? You know, family, while some government regulations today are very tedious, some of them are very complicated, some government regulations are actually quite helpful. You know, one of the regulations that our government mandates today is that all medical prescriptions must be marked they must be labeled with some of the serious side effects that come when you ingest those prescriptions. You've probably noticed this. You know this is true. Maybe you don't even pay attention to it anymore. You're so familiar with it. But you get one of your prescriptions, and there on the side of the prescription bottle are orange stickers, yellow stickers, that have words printed on them that say things like this: may cause drowsiness. Some of them say, do not operate vehicles or other machinery until you know how you respond to this medication. Listen, depending on what kind of drug your doctor has prescribed, sometimes the bodily effects of a prescription, sometimes the effects are very mild, and other times they are very strong, and sometimes they are even life-altering. Now, I'm going to pick on my wife here for just a moment. I remember back in 2015, Heather had gallbladder surgery. And they say that 1 or 2% of the population will have some complications. And she did. She was one of those individuals that had some really severe complications after that surgery. And she had to be readmitted to the hospital for quite a lengthy stay for a number of days to get her sorted out. Well, she was in a tremendous amount of pain. And she received a prescription from her surgeon, the prescription Percocet. And so you know, many of you who have had to take that drug before, Percocet is a very strong, powerful painkiller. And so Heather was taking this drug, Percocet, and I will never forget it. As long as I live, I'm sitting next to her there beside her hospital bed, and she's looking at me, but she is also looking through me. And she is looking off into some other world. And with these glazed eyes, she looks at me and she smiles and she says, so this is what it's like to take drugs. Now, of course, I couldn't help but laugh. But there is no denying the powerful effect of that medication that it was having on her body. What she was taking was a powerful opioid-based narcotic, and it was having a powerful effect on her body and her mind. Well, family, what kind of effects does marijuana bring to a person's body and mind? And how should we evaluate those effects as a Christian? Now, friends, I don't want to get technical here. I'm just going to give you some general thoughts so we can keep it simple and we can all stay together. Generally speaking, marijuana is understood and believed to be a mood-altering drug. It is a mood-altering drug that creates a pleasant euphoria. Now, this euphoria comes from a particular compound inside the cannabis plant. This main compound is called THC. That stands for tetrahydrocannabinol. Okay? When individuals smoke marijuana, their primary purpose in smoking marijuana is to release that compound into their system. And it is that compound that gives the body a high or a buzz. And of course, that's exactly what's going to happen to them, because THC is defined as a psychoactive, mind-altering, intoxicating substance. That's what it is, and everyone is in agreement that that is what it does. It is a psychoactive, mind-altering, intoxicating substance. Look in your notes here. I gave you a great little quote from Dr. John Piper, who wrote these words: people don't smoke pot to get unhappy. It produces a temporary state that is felt to be better than ordinary life. That's why it's called a high and not a low. Now, friends, there are all kinds of arguments going on today in the medical community and the scientific community about how addictive marijuana is. One particular study I looked at put marijuana addiction at 9%. 9%. That is not that far off from the addiction rate of alcohol, which is right around 15%. Now, of course, the marijuana advocates want you and I to believe that smoking marijuana is completely harmless. That's what they want you to believe, that it's absolutely harmless, can't hurt you at all. But friends, that just isn't the real truth. One conservative author, Phil Valentine, wrote these words: "Studies show that smoking pot as a teenager can shave as much as 8 points off your IQ. Marijuana users have a 4.8% increase of the risk of heart attack in the first hour after smoking it. There is a definite link between marijuana use and development of psychosis, depression, suicidal thoughts, and other mental health maladies." Other experts have written that diminished brain function that is associated with marijuana use can be more than just temporary. That's what the advocates always want to say. It's just temporary. It's just temporary. Well, the scientific community is saying it may not be temporary, especially for teenagers who are still in those growing years of development. Family, here's the point I'm making. Marijuana is not completely harmless. It's not completely harmless, as these advocates want us to believe. Yes, it does create a feeling of euphoria. It creates a feeling of happiness. But that recreational escape from reality comes with a cost. And the cost is one's diminished mind, a diminished accuracy of observation. It affects one's perception. It affects memory, judgment, reasoning, and other cognitive functions. Now, I'm really going to push some buttons here, because there are some people today who object right away, marijuana advocates who will stand up and object, and they'll say, wait a minute, but what about that person who wants a strong coffee in the morning? What about that coffee drinker who must have that coffee, that strong caffeine boost to get going? Well, friends, while caffeinated coffee certainly does bring a pleasant kick to those who drink it, there is a big difference. There's a big difference between marijuana use and having a strong cup of coffee. Here's the difference. People who drink coffee drink it because they want to wake up. They want to think clearer. People who drink coffee want to be sharper. They drink coffee to sharpen focus. They want to increase their productivity, not diminish it. Think about it with me, family. This is why every company on the face of the earth puts a coffee pot in the employee break room. This is why our soldiers, even on the battlefield, are allowed to drink coffee. This is why police officers want some coffee while they're working the night shift. Look in your notes. John Piper writes this: most coffee drinkers hope to stay awake, do their jobs reliably, and drive more safely. It is certainly possible to abuse caffeine, but as a natural stimulant, it is most commonly used not as an escape from reality, but as an effort to interact responsibly with reality. Family, I think that is such a great point by John Piper. So friends, it's at this point now that we're turning to the Scriptures, and we're looking to the Bible to give us some helpful principles and some guidelines and some insights. And the first insight, family, we need to consider is that this physical body of ours is not ours to do with whatever we please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 makes that clear in verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So family, Scripture says, I am not the ultimate owner of this body. God is. I'm His steward. It's my job to use this body wisely, but I am not the ultimate or the supreme or sovereign owner of my body. The Bible says God is. The Bible also says that every Christian has the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has now come to indwell permanently in every Christian at the moment that they receive Jesus as Savior. So, Christian friend, the Bible says that your body is also a temple or a residence of God's own Holy Spirit. And because of that, that ought to give you and I some pause. The fact that the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling with me, that He's with me daily, that He's taking up residence with me, that ought to make me slow down and be careful with what I'm doing with my body. Look in your notes, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13 says this, "The body is meant for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." So friends, knowing what we know about marijuana, knowing what we know about the effects that it has on the body and the mind, it certainly seems that recreational use of marijuana doesn't fit with these biblical standards. In addition, friends, how many times in the pages of God's Word do we see the command or the call for the Christian to be clear-headed, for the Christian to be sober-minded, for the Christian to be mentally sharp as we are going, navigating our Christian journey? As Christians, you and I shouldn't be dulling our minds with recreational drugs and disengaging from reality. No, remember what Romans 12:2 says, we are to be renewing our minds with the truth of God's Word. God wants you and I to be alert to reality. God wants us to wake up and see reality, perceive reality, and then engage with reality for the glory of Christ. Look in your notes. I gave you a couple of great scriptures that make this point so clearly. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." How about Ephesians 6? We all remember that armor of God passage, but at the very end of the armor of God section, Paul says in verse 18, "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication." To that end, Paul says, keep alert. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. So here's what I'm saying, believers. Even though marijuana isn't directly mentioned in the Bible, I think the same biblical principles that Christians have used to condemn drunkenness, to condemn intoxication with alcohol, those are the same principles that would cross over to marijuana use. Because marijuana creates that similar kind of intoxication, that kind of mental drunkenness. That's what's going on. And the Bible has a lot to say about not being drunk, not being inebriated, not being intoxicated. Look at Proverbs 23 in your notes. "Be not among drunkards, for the drunkard, the glutton, will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags." Even Ephesians 5:18 is a powerful text. "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." Look, you know this is true. When a person is smoking marijuana recreationally for no other purpose than to get high, be with their friends, get a buzz, in that moment, that person is not being influenced or controlled by the Holy Spirit. They are not becoming more clear-headed about the Bible, about God's kingdom, about spiritual things, or about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not trying to engage more with reality and focus with mental sharpness. No, the truth is, as they're smoking marijuana, they're doing so because they want to disconnect from reality. They want to disconnect from clear thinking. They want to pull away from real life. And they want to just exist for a time in this fog of physical, mental dullness. Family, look in your notes. Here's a wonderful quote from Sam Storms, who's a Christian and a pastor and a theologian. Sam Storms writes this, "Therefore, he's speaking to Christians, "we must strive not to dull or diminish or weaken our God-given physical and mental capacities to glorify and serve God. We must strive to see clearly and think clearly and decide clearly and speak clearly and remember clearly. Our minds are designed by God to know Him and love Him and grow in affections for Him. We should avoid anything that undermines our minds in this regard." That is exactly right. I couldn't agree more with that statement. Well, family, we've asked three questions so far. Three questions trying to formulate a biblical worldview about marijuana, but we're not done yet. Here's a fourth question, number four. Is this marijuana for medicine or for recreation? Number four, is this marijuana for medicine or for recreation? Now, family, I want you to imagine with me a large truck. A large truck full of plants that have been extracted from nature. The harvesters of those plants, they unload all the plants off the truck and they hand them over to another group of people who are going to process those plants and create a product. A product that, when ingested, will bring gladness and relaxation and a state of pleasantness to those who take it in. Now, friends, before you let your mind run ahead of you too far, I'm not actually talking about marijuana in that example. I'm actually thinking about another very well-known product that's created from plants. It's called morphine. Morphine is a drug that's made from the resin of poppy plants. And down through the years, that drug, morphine, has been a powerful painkiller that has been used by physicians, even doctors on the battlefield, to give to soldiers who are wounded in combat. Morphine is often given to people who are fresh out of surgery. They give morphine even to cancer patients who are just hours or days or sometimes just a few weeks from physical death. Back in Bible times, when someone was on the verge of death, it was not uncommon in ancient times for people to come alongside and administer to that dying person a very, very strong dose of alcohol in order to take the edge off the physical pain they were experiencing because they were dying. Proverbs 31:6 actually talks about this. Proverbs 31:6, give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Guess what? That verse is why Jesus was offered wine on the cross. Jesus was there in his final agonizing hours, and they offered him some wine to dull his senses because of the agonizing, blazing pain he was experiencing. Now, family, in those two examples I just held out for you, we talked about the morphine that's made from plants. We also talked about a very strong alcohol that can be made from grapes. Those two examples I just gave to you are things out of God's creation, elements out of God's world that can be used wisely and dispensed for a medical purpose. So, as we seek to take a careful approach on this subject of marijuana, I think, in light of all that we've studied so far, Christians, I think as discerning, Bible-believing Christians, I think we can at least leave the door open for the possibility of marijuana being permitted in strict medical use. For strict medical use only. Medical use that has appropriate oversight by a licensed physician and one that's administered through a legitimate prescription. Look, let's be honest. If you do a survey of the market today, of all the prescriptions that are out there that are legal, that are widely available on the market today, there are many of them that are much more potent than marijuana. We know for a fact that many of the powerful opioid drugs that are used today as these painkillers, they can become extremely addictive. And even when people use them correctly, that person has to use such wisdom to eventually step down off of that prescription because many of them are so powerful. Listen, I'm going somewhere here. I'm trying to make this point. In our Christian worldview, if we say that it is acceptable to use these strong drugs over here, these prescription drugs that were made from plants, that we're going to let these drugs be used with a doctor's oversight, with a real prescription, then what I'm saying is, at least in principle, we should be willing to discuss and have the door at least be open for a strict medical use of the marijuana plant. I remember a number of years ago, I was traveling, I was sitting in an airport, and I'm just sitting there sipping a coffee and waiting for my next plane to show up. And I was watching the TVs there in the airport, and I happened to watch a documentary that was on CNN. This particular documentary was following the story of this little girl whose body was just devastated with these epileptic seizures. And as I watched this documentary, they showed that the only medicine that would relieve this girl's seizures was this tincture. It was this special little eyedropper, these special drops that they would give her. And these droplets were formulated from a marijuana plant. And any sensible person who watched that documentary could see that what was happening with those drops being given to this little girl, that was not recreational use. No, it was very clear. That was medicine. It was medicine. So family, let me just be really clear for all of us today. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not the governor of a state. I don't know all the finer points about marijuana as a scientific medicine, like dosages and chemical compounds and all the milligrams and all of that. I am not a doctor, and I'm not a governor of a state either. I don't know what legalizing marijuana as a medicine will ultimately mean for public safety or people who drive stoned, people who would be driving under the influence. What does it mean for state licensing? What does it mean for state laws or state taxes? What does it mean for government oversight of all that? I don't know. But family, I am a theologian and I am a pastor. And I do think with the Bible as our guide, I think we can at least leave the door open to a discussion about marijuana being strictly used as a medicine. A medicine when it's overseen by a legitimate doctor with a legitimate prescription for a person who is facing a legitimate medical crisis, especially for someone in those extreme circumstances where all the other medical remedies have proven ineffective. Now, can I give you one more question here as we think about this topic of marijuana? One more crucial question that will help us, I think, in our Christian worldview. Number 5, how will marijuana affect a Christian's life and testimony? Number 5, how will marijuana affect a Christian's life and testimony? Now, family, so far, we've stepped our way through this topic. We've looked at 4 crucial questions. Up to this point, we've sought to let the Bible direct our thinking on this sensitive subject. Now, we're coming down the home stretch here of our consideration of marijuana, and we're thinking about it from a Christian worldview. This 5th question, this final question, is an important one. Let's say there was a Christian who wanted to partake in recreational marijuana. What kind of an effect would that have on that Christian's testimony? What kind of an effect would it have on their Christian life? Now, believers, listen to me. Listen, we've already established that the door could be potentially left open for partaking medically. If that Christian was in an extreme circumstance of bodily pain, agony, and struggle, if that Christian is under a doctor's care, listen, if there's a lady in my church who's dying of breast cancer, and her doctor prescribes her some kind of marijuana-based product, drops or pills, that would keep her around a little bit longer to be a wife and a mother, I'm not going to tell her that she's sinning because she's using that medicine at the direction of her doctor. However, family, I think we've established it strongly today that the recreational use of marijuana, smoking marijuana for no other purpose than just to get high, is outside the boundaries of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 10:31 is in your notes. Would you look at it? So, Scripture says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So I ask you, can that marijuana recreational smoker really glorify God when he's dulling his senses, when he's shutting down his mental capabilities? Can he read his Bible better by doing that? Can he pray better? Can he witness to his neighbor better? Can he be a better dad? Can he be a better husband? Can he be a better employee when he's stoned? I think you know the answer to that. The answer is no. Family, there's a reason why the secular world still today still makes fun of stoner culture. Because common sense people, even in the world, even common sense people who don't know Jesus understand that smoking marijuana recreationally has nothing to do with working harder, rising higher, or being a better person. No, even the regular culture understands that smoking pot is about sitting on the couch, chilling with your friends, eating snacks, and getting away from the stresses of real life. But Christians, that is not what God wants from us. That is not what God wants. God wants us to have a testimony for Jesus that's winsome and warm. God wants you and I to have a life that's vibrant, that's upstanding, and that shows people that recreational drugs is not the answer to life's challenges. Jesus Christ is the answer to life's challenges. So friends, let's make sure we're asking the right questions. Are you asking the right questions, believers? The questions aren't just, well, what's wrong with it? Well, why can't I smoke pot? No. The questions are much harder than that. Sam Storms writes this, the questions ought to be, will it promote the cause of Christ? Will this activity lead me and others to treasure Jesus above all else? Will it help me fight the fight of faith with greater success? Will it intensify and sharpen my knowledge of Jesus and my commitment to glorify Him in all things? Oh, believers, those are the questions that count. And as we seek to answer those questions by the help of Scripture, then, Christian friend, you and I will be standing on a rock-solid ground, the Christian worldview that guides us and shows us that our actions as believers ought to be strengthening our testimony for Christ and not detracting from it. You know, perhaps you're listening today and you're not a Christian. Maybe you've tried marijuana a few times, maybe here or there. Maybe you're a regular user. I don't know. Perhaps your life has been filled with such adversity and trouble or problems that you've turned to marijuana on occasion as a means of getting away from the problems and just trying to get some relief. Life has given you adversity, and because you haven't been able to discover the answers, you'd rather smoke pot, and then that way you won't even have to think about the questions. Well, friend, listen, if that's you this morning, I want you to know God does have the answers for all of the hardest questions of life, even the ones that are troubling you. Here at Grace Baptist Church, we're here to help people know Jesus Christ. And as people come to know Christ, they begin to discover His Word, the Word of God that gives us the answers that we're looking for. Friend, if you're listening today and you're hurting, if you're questioning, if you're struggling, we want you to know Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to your guilt. He's the answer to your sins. He's the answer to what you've been searching for. So friend, if God is speaking to your heart today about your need of salvation, your need to change, your need to be transformed, oh friend, don't hesitate to talk to me. Don't hesitate to contact me. Don't hesitate to reach out to any one of our church leaders. We would love to get together with you, talk to you, help you understand what it means to have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Now you can have God's Word as the compass to use for your life. Friend, I want you to know marijuana is only going to lead you deeper and deeper into the darker clouds. It's only going to lead you into the fog of confusion and distortion, but only by knowing Jesus, only by knowing Christ, that is how we see the light of the truth. Well, believers, as we draw to a close this morning, I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you. I hope that as a result of our time today, you will be able to go out into this world a little better equipped to help you speak and help you think, help you interact on this subject of marijuana from a Christian worldview. Family, as we close, I will be real honest with you right now. I don't think any of us can say with concrete certainty where our state or where our nation is ultimately going to come down on this issue of marijuana. For many, many decades now, there has been very little movement on the marijuana issue with regards to the government and with regards to our wider culture. But you've seen it, haven't you? Over the last 10 to 12 years, We have seen things now begin to move, and they are moving at warp speed. Not only with new legislation being passed in state governments, we're seeing a whole new perspective out in the culture. We're seeing a wider acceptance. We're seeing the mainstreaming of marijuana in our media, in our movies, our TV, and the whole culture. But friends, even though the winds will continue to swirl around us, we can be thankful. Christian, be thankful today that we have the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God to stand on as a rock in such uncertain times. As believers, we are never afraid of the hardest questions. The questions about guns, or wars, or gambling, or immigration, or even marijuana, because we know the Bible has the reliable truths we need, the trustworthy principles that can guide us where God wants us to go. Listen, friends, until Jesus comes, there are always going to be sticky challenges, ethical quandaries, and moral conundrums that will require the engagement of our Christian worldview. But praise God, we have His enduring promise. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of our God endures forever.
Thanks for listening. This Preaching for a Change broadcast has been brought to you by the Grace Baptist Church of Hazleton, Pennsylvania. For more information, visit us online at mygracebaptist.church. If you enjoyed this broadcast, then share it with a friend on your favorite social media network. And be sure to join us next time for more enlightening and encouraging biblical exposition here on Preaching for a Change.